Well, good morning. As he said, he asked me back, in October, if I would consider doing this. And I have no problem with that. It's just a matter of, I think he uses me for holidays. I preached last year on New Year's Eve, and now, here it is, the day before New Year's Eve. The last time I preached was Memorial Day weekend. So I know it's usually like, all right, when there's hardly anyone around, we'll make sure that you preach. So it's all good. I can handle it. Once again, I do have my water. Just deal with it. So last year, I spoke on the last day of the year on the who, what, when, why, and how of the church. And I did that because we were about to undergo some major changes here at Milestone. We were Berean at the time. I believe that was the last sermon of Berean Baptist. And we became Milestone, and we had a lot of changes. And I wanted to challenge you as to what was a church expected to be like, and what we are to do. But this year, I was thinking, actually for a few weeks as to what I should preach on, I really couldn't nail it down. But then I got to thinking about, just this year, 2018, 2019, and this new challenge of the stones, which I'm assuming they'll probably talk about at the end of the sermon once again, trying to put things into a jar, Milestone moments. And so I wanted to kind of challenge you now a little bit, what you can fill up the jar with. And so basically, how are you going to minister to the lives of others? How are you going to be ministered to? And basically, how we're going to basically do life together in 2019. Because it is, it is vital that we do life together. So as I considered 2018, I think I've witnessed a lot of hurt. I witnessed a lot of pain. Anger. Definitely had discussions, we'll say, with individuals. There's a divisiveness, not necessarily in the church, but just in the world. And that's just not who I am. I don't like that. And the hurt set up feelings of fear. It set up feelings of hatred towards others, and I also have seen another side of it, though, and I've seen a world of acceptance towards different ways of living, and people accepting others for who they are, but then I've seen people getting angry that they are expected to accept others for who they are and for what they do and for how they live. And so it got me to thinking about, where does the church fit in all of this? Are we supposed to kind of go along with society? Are we supposed to lead society? Are we supposed to go against society? And it's kind of tough. Is the church really being a positive or a negative influence to the world, and to our world, to our community? So I want to think about, what will Milestone look like at the end of 2019 when I preach again, when he's supposed to go away, but he won't. Will people who walk through these doors feel love? And I'm not saying that we are not a church of love. I think that we really are. But what I want to say to you is, maybe this message is not necessarily for us as a church so much, but for the universal church. But in that, I really want to challenge us as Milestone to take the lead, because I don't see churches being very loving in many ways. So today I'm going to start off with two stories, basically. A story and a letter. The story is one of hope. The story is one of heartwarming, you know, just makes you feel good. You're, you know, you feel a little bit sad, but then by the end of the story, you're like, oh, that's so nice. All right. But the letter, I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit hurtful. And it's a letter to the church in general, not this church. Again, not Milestone. All right. But I just want to make that very clear. The story is going to be about an action taken by someone in the world. All right. And so let me just start off with this. All right. So here's the story. Joanna. Joanna is a strong wife and a mother. Joanna often hides her pain and suffering from those around her. In the weeks and months following her husband's cancer diagnosis, Joanna would search for hiding places, the shower, the closets, parking lots, where she could let the uncontrollable waterfalls flow freely. One day, after her husband passed away, she was driving through a coffee drive-thru. Unfortunately, a wave of sadness hit her in the midst of the line, and she could barely catch her breath. The tears started flowing, and she realized that she had nowhere to go. She is trapped by cars around her. The only way out would be to ram through those cars. She was literally blocked in. Joanna was about to be seen by others for who she really was, her struggles. The barista at the window took notice. She handed Joanna her iced coffee, and on top of the lid, it says, "We love you." The girl at the window did not know Joanna's story. She knew, obviously, that she was hurting. She couldn't fix it, but she could do a little bit. She could do something. The barista was used by God in that little way. She basically loved her neighbor. Simple act of kindness. I'm not sure if the coffee shop worker was a Christian or not, all right? But she acted in a way that one would expect someone who is a Christian to act. Today, we're looking at John 13, 34, and 35, all right? And my sermon, Love Like No One Else, all right? Honestly, I had to look at it to remember what it was called. So I think it was four different versions throughout the week. So John 13, 34, 34, I have it on the slideshow. So as soon as we can get that up, there we go. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The barista. She was just showing a little bit of love. I've often said, if you get to know me, you cannot expect regenerate behavior from unregenerate people. Meaning, sometimes you can't expect Christ-like behavior from those who do not know Christ. However, I think that sometimes the world does do some really nice things that for others. The heartwarming story is, you know, very simple. It's a simple act of kindness, a simple act of love. Now here comes the letter. The letter is a letter I found online, but it is a letter from someone who is tired of church. They have left church, they grew up in church, and it was a letter as to why. But this is also a letter for reasons why people do not go to church. And it says, "Dear church, love seems to be a pretty big deal to you. But when the rubber meets the road, I am not seeing love. In fact, more and more, your brand of love seems incredibly selective and decidedly narrow. filtering out all the spiritual riffraff, which sadly includes far too many of us, including me. Church feels like a big bait-and-switch sucker deal. You advertise, come as you are. But once you are in the door, you let us know that we cannot come as we are. We see a Jesus in the Bible who hung out with lowlifes, prostitutes, outcasts, and loved them right where they were. But this does not seem to be the way that you act. Church, can you love us if we don't check all of the doctrinal boxes? If we don't have our theology all figured out? To me, it doesn't seem that you are able. Can you love us if we curse, if we drink, if we get tattoos, and God forbid, even vote Democrat? We are doubtful. Can you love us if we are not sure how we define love, how we define marriage, how we define heaven and hell? It sure doesn't feel that way. From what we know about Jesus, we think he looks a lot like love. The unfortunate thing is, you do not look like him. It's here in our flawed, screwed up, wounded, shell-shocked, doubting, disillusionedness that we've been waiting for you to step in. This whole supposedly relentless, audacious love of Jesus. And make it real to us. But you do not love like Jesus. So, my question is, what does the world see when they see Milestone, when they see you? You know, are we a people of love? Are we a church of love? And I think that we really are. And as I said earlier, this is not necessarily for Milestone, but it could be a challenge for each and every one of us to be a little bit more loving. And I think that the challenge I'm trying to share with you is simply this, that I think we can take the lead, and I think we can really show people how we can love. I want to be a church that influences others for Christ in a loving way. You know, your love for others must be willing to sacrifice and lead. Your love for others is the strongest argument for your faith in Christ. You must be known by your Christ-like love for others. And if you look at that verse, that's the new part, a new commandment I give to you. We have always been told to love. In Leviticus, next slide, Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." All right, so we were always told to love, all right, from the Old Testament throughout the new part is the Christ-like love for others. That is what we're going to be looking at. You know, the new concept of loving others as Christ loved people. So how did he love, and how are we going to love, or how are we doing as a church? So it's a little measuring stick here for the end of 2018. If we follow with being a church for the community, as we always say, all right, each of us lives that in our daily lives, then maybe we're doing pretty good. If we are not loving in that way, if we just stop loving outside of these doors, then, you know, then that's where we need to start thinking about it, you know. So how did Christ love? Well, he loved sacrificially. He loved with forgiveness and with compassion. The first way that I want to share with you that Christ loved was sacrificially. So the next slide, Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." At the beginning of John 13, the chapter where Christ says, "I have, you know, love as I have loved you." I really feel like I'm with my students. Love you. Anyway, at the beginning of John 13, the chapter where Christ says, "Love as I have loved you," we see Christ washing the disciples' feet. He could have just simply said, "Love as I have just shown you." All right? But he doesn't. It's more of a sacrificial type of love. And I know you're saying, how can I compete with Christ? I mean, he gave up his entire life for us. And my question or my statement is, what is a sacrifice to you? Is it time? Is it money? Is it hanging out with people who are the lowlifes, the prostitutes, people who are struggling with alcoholism or drug addiction that we would, you know, try to stay away from? Have you tried to just talk with these individuals? You know, and that might be a sacrifice, spending time with people that you're just not comfortable with. And I know it can be scary. My school, you know, I have students who are in gangs, addicted to drugs. It's not pretty. But I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. It's just a matter of they all know my room is a safe zone where they can come and just talk. You know, you have a, this kid who is involved in drugs or involved in a gang crying at my shoulders. Are you able to just love? Are you able to sacrifice what it looks like? No. Hanging out with these individuals. If we are loving others the same way that the world loves, is that being sacrificial? You know, sacrifice pictures a payment, all right? Christ gave up his life on earth for us, and his payment was for our sin. So what are you willing to do to give up for others? You know, if we think that the simple act of love that the barista gave, just writing a little note, that's not necessarily a sacrifice. It's something nice. It's something kind. But is it a sacrifice? The next type of love is a forgiving love, all right? So forgiving. And in Colossians 3, 12, 14, it says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." I want to repeat a few of those phrases. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, and if one has a complaint, forgive. Christ gave us unmerited forgiveness. We have and either are or have been or were in complete rebellion, and yet he forgave us. Are you able to forgive? And what is forgiveness? You know, to forgive is, according to Webster's, to cancel a debt, to stop feeling angry for a wrong that was done to you. However, many times when we get in arguments, we have a tendency to bring up the past. So really, did we ever forgive? One of the classes I teach is social justice. And we just finished up a unit on Native Americans. And I like the way one of the Native American tribes defined forgiveness. And the tribes all had different languages, but this is just, you know, the translation of it. It's not necessarily, it does not equate to forgiveness in the English language. But the definition would be not being able to think about it anymore. That's pretty powerful. Do you love like that? Are you being sacrificial and truly forgiving with your love? Does the world see it? The third way that Christ loves us is a love that is seen and felt by all. As it reads in the main verse that we've been looking at on John 13 and 34 and 35, it says, by this all people will know. They will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that should be the distinguishing mark of those who claim to follow Christ. Christ will know that you are a Christian by the love that you display to others. You know, when the Romans were investigating Christianity and the church and how everybody was hiding in homes and things like that, when they were investigating who was a Christian, there are stories that the spies observed early believers. And the reports they gave back, one astonishing piece of evidence that they mentioned was the way that the Christians had love for others. And that's in the time when it was bad to be a Christian, basically. You were going against the Roman Empire. So what about us? You know, what if spies were following you? What if spies came into this church? If we had that kind of a situation in our world, you know, could the same be said about you? Could you be proven guilty of loving others? If you are a Christian, I'm letting you know that you do have a spy, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows how you love. So how are we doing with love? And what I want to, say, it's about compassion. It's about compassion. You know, we must be filled with compassion to have that Christ love, Christ-like love for others. Not love the way that you love yourself, as Leviticus states, but the new part that's stated in John, the new commandment of love, all right, the way that Christ loved us. I'm not trying to compare us to the world, all right? What I'm saying is this. If the world can love the way that a coffee shop girl can love to a woman who has lost her husband, then we as a church should be able to do much more. All right? The world has a word. A word that has become taboo in the church. It's taboo in the Christian world, and that word is tolerance. I'd like to suggest that the church really does need to tolerate others. However, by tolerance, I do not mean that the church should conform to the ideals of society. From my experience, when the subject of tolerance comes up with Christians, Christians feel like we are deliberately losing an argument, that we're giving in to society. And I'll let you know one thing, in talking to others, that's exactly how society sees us, that we're trying to win an argument. They see the church as judgmental, never willing to listen. And I think we can do better because we are called to be different. We are called to stand out, to not fit in, and especially in this moment in time. the church needs to be big enough and loving enough, just like God is towards us. And maybe you're sitting there and you're like, nah, I can't accept that. You're wrong. Well, that's fine. Even if you're right, the world is still lost. They need to know the love of God, and we're the ones who need to show them. If we want to reach society, if we claim to be a church for the community, we need to realize that society is frustrated with the church. They really are. If we go about telling the world that they are wrong to be frustrated at us, if we're constantly trying to win an argument or a battle, it's only going to make them even more frustrated with us. And they're going to distance themselves even more. We need to approach with love. And can you imagine if we did this through sacrificial, forgiving, compassionate love of Christ? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." For most of my life, when I heard that verse coming from a pulpit, it followed a laundry list of things that Christians should not do, simply because it says, do not be conformed to this world. But what I would like to implore to you is simply this: do not conform to the world's standards of love. Outdo the world. Love like no one else. The rest of Romans 12, if you look at the rest of that chapter, you know, the next few verses talk about humbling yourself and realizing that we all have different gifts, all right? But then, let's get to verses 9 through 17, and it comes back to love. It says, "Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." That's what it means to not be conformed to this world. So how are we doing? What will your list of milestones be for 2019? Will you be able to fill a jar all on your own the way that we're going to be challenged? Will the world know that you are a Christian by your sacrificial, forgiving, and compassionate love that you have for others, not because of the things that you don't do? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you so much for your love. Lord, we do not come in comparison to loving like Jesus, but Lord, I do pray that we would sincerely try, that we would sincerely put others before ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified through our actions, and I pray, Lord, that 2019 would be a milestone year, that we would learn how to love, and that we would love as Christ, you have loved us. In your name I pray. Amen.